my pleasure to introduce Liliana's father.
Take your Bibles tonight. Let's turn to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 7. Joshua 7, I'll read the chapter. Would you follow along in your King James Bible? But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, get warm already. The son of Zerah, the son of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. They returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So they went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide. He and the elders of Israel put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us round and cut off our name from the earth, and what wilt thou do unto thy great name? The Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up, wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except you destroy the accursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, There is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof. And the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zerahite, and he brought the family of the Zerahites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they were hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers. They ran into the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. They took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua, and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver and the garment and the wedge of gold and his sons and his daughters and his oxen and his asses and his sheep and his tent and all that he had. And they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. The accursed thing. The thing that God cursed. The object that God cursed. Rightfully so, Achan had clear instruction concerning that accursed thing, but it's very clear that he considered it just a light thing to covet. Never occurred to him that this seemingly small thing, this little bit of worldly gain, if you will, was such a minor thing to him. It obviously never occurred to him that God had cursed this, and the man that touched that cursed item was then accursed of God. I want to look at those things tonight with the Lord's help, and I want to look at the cursed thing. The accursed thing. Chapter 6 of Joshua in verse 17. Here, speaking of the city of Jericho, the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed. When ye take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. So Achan had very clear instruction from the word of God to not to touch the accursed thing, let alone to take the accursed thing, or he himself would not only be accursed, but all of Israel would be troubled if a man took anything that God had cursed. And Achan sees these little trinkets, if you will, and he takes them unto himself in covetousness, hides them, buries them, and in doing so, God troubled Israel. 36 families went to bed that night without a father, without a son, wife without a husband. Why? Because of the sin of Achan, which should have seemingly been a small thing to the children of Israel, but now it became monumental. They fled from the children of Ai. And as they fled from the children of Ai, they had no more strength. Their heart melted, became as water in the eyes of men. Why? Because one man had taken the accursed thing. One man had hidden that thing that was cursed and had buried that thing that was cursed. And just assumed that it would never be found out that that accursed thing was hidden in his life. You say, where's application for us? Well, just read the scripture and let the Holy Ghost make application in your life as we go through this passage of scripture. There is no profoundness in this. There's no astonishing thing. There's no new revelation. It's just the reality that it's an inward look at a selfish man, a covetous man, a man that died without hope and without God. And here we see in this passage, I want you to look firstly in Joshua chapter 5 with me if you would, and verse 7. The children of Israel have just crossed over Jordan. The waters parted that they could cross over. They have seen a miracle. Now, their forefathers had seen a similar miracle when they came out of Egypt land. And their forefathers died murmuring in the wilderness against God. But here are the descendants, the children's children of those that died in the wilderness. And they now have seen a miracle from God. God again parts the waters and they cross over the river Jordan only as God can do, and they've seen this miracle. And in verse 7 of chapter 5, and their children, whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised, because they had not circumcised them by the way. And it came to pass, when they had done circumcising all the people, that they abode in their places in the camp till they were whole. I want to say to you first tonight, Achan sinned in covetousness while the circumcision was fresh upon him. God had made him whole. God had had him circumcised. He's with the children of Israel. They abode in the camp until such time as they were whole. Then God moved them against the city of Jericho. And there at the city of Jericho, again, they see a great miracle of God. They see the walls fall down of Jericho, not one stone standing upon another. They see the deliverance of Rahab the harlot because of faith. They've seen miracles from God. They've seen the working of God. I want you to look in chapter 5 again with me and verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Achan has seen not only the miracle of crossing Jordan, he has seen and felt the knife of circumcision, that cutting away of that which is dead flesh, as required of the children of Israel. He has recovered from circumcision. He has seen the captain of the Lord's host appear to Joshua, or at best has heard of the captain of the Lord of hosts appearing to Joshua in that place that is holy ground. He sees the Lord of the captain of the Lord's host move in Joshua. He sees the Lord direct them to move against Jericho. He has seen the miracle of Jericho. He has seen the walls fall down, the destruction of the city, the deliverance of Rahab. He has seen all of these things that God has done. Yes, sir. But yet, when it came down to his own lust,
yes, sir,
he would not heed, yes, sir, the voice of God. Mm-hmm. And for he said this in our passage in chapter 7. And he said in verse 20, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them. That look led to lust. That lust brought forth sin. Sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. He not only coveted them, but then he hid them. Can I say, in the matter of the accursed thing, whether he hid them or whether he was just honest about them, he was already accursed. The second he laid eyes on them and coveted in his heart and looked around to make sure no man is watching and took those items because of the lust of his heart. And by the way, I've thought of this earlier, and I don't want to be shallow, but it's kind of shallow, but it is what it is. Where is he going to spend them at this juncture of his life?
Yeah.
What's he going to buy in a place called Jericho? What's he going to use them for? God has just given them a land. You realize when they cross the Jordan River, there's another miracle that we forget to see there oftentimes. I overlook it myself often. The manna stopped. The angel's food stopped. God was now giving them the fruit of the land. The promise of God was fulfilled. houses that they would dwell in that they had not built, orchards and vineyards that they could go in and pluck the fruit with their hands that they did not labor and tend those orchards. There were crops in the fields that they would gather that they had not sowed. They had not planted. They had not labored over them. The land was flowing with milk and honey. Manna had ceased, and God's provision was marvelous in this land. God was feeding his children with the substance of the land. With food and raiment to be content. No. I just want a little bit of gold, a little bit of silver, and I just want that Babylonian garment. And not only did 36 men lose their lives, but all of Israel was accursed because of the sin of one man. I want you to look in verse 10 with me. Actually, let me start in verse 6. When Joshua sees the people fleeing, these great victors, and can you imagine the despair of Joshua? And by the way, some of you read, I wrote a little, cute little article on Pure Cambridge Text the other day, because it's something I've been harping on for all these years, and finally the Lord just let me see it clear as a bell. A matter of discouragement or encouragement versus exhortation. You realize when the Bible talks about encouragement, often in the scriptures it's referring to Joshua. That they would encourage Joshua. Why? That Joshua's courage could be given. His courage would be strengthened. His courage would be renewed in him. Why? He's literally fighting a war. He's literally fighting the Canaanites. Not only is he fighting the Canaanites, but he's now seeing the children of Israel overthrown. He needs courage. He needs someone to lift him up. He needs someone to give him strength that he can keep fighting this battle. That's literally what encouragement is in the Old Testament. And they're encouraging the man of God. Why? Because he's despondent. He's seen this great victory. He's seen the walls fall down. He's seen Jericho fall into the hand of Israel. And now little tiny Ai has caused them to flee, and their hearts have melted like water. The first thing Joshua does in verse 6, he rent his clothes, and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide. He and the elders of Israel and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, "Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us?" But then he said this, "Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side Jordan." Even Joshua was saying, would it be better had we just stayed on the other side of Jordan? Would it have been better had we just continued on manna? Would it be better we had just stayed in the wilderness eating the manna that came from heaven? But now we've come into this land that you promised us. Lord, you said you'd give it to us. Lord, you promised us this land. And look at us now. We're burying our dead and we're fleeing from the face of the Amorite. And I don't believe Joshua's tempting God here, but this is what he says to the Lord. "O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? Lord, you promised. Lord, you told us. You said you'd drive them out of the land. You'd give us this land. And now we're running. We're fleeing. We've turned our backs and run." But you realize what Joshua had done before he talked to the Lord is he'd humbled himself.
Sure did.
He'd rent those clothes. He put his face in the dust and put the dust upon his head. He and the elders of Israel, they knelt before a holy God. Before he ever spake, he humbled himself under the mighty hand of God. Not only for himself, he was speaking for Israel. God had raised him up to speak for a people. "For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us round and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name?" He said, "Lord, not only am I concerned what they're going to think, but Lord, what am I going to do with your name? Because you're the one that promised. You're the one that told us. You're the one that made this promise to us, and now we've been overthrown, we're running. What are people going to think? Lord, what are they going to say about you? But can I say to you, God's always holy. And God was still holy. And God was still just. And God was still perfect. And he stood in the face of Joshua and he said, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? What is he saying? Joshua, don't you remember the promise I made? Don't you remember the promise I made to you? Don't you remember what I told you in Moses? Don't you remember what I told you concerning this land? Joshua, why are you on your face? Get up on your feet. Remember what I've said. If you would, let's go back to Deuteronomy. Chapter 21. Excuse me, Deuteronomy chapter 11. The wrong chapter, excuse me. Deuteronomy chapter 11. The Lord tells the children of Israel this in verse 26. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. Remember this, Joshua. I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. I promised I'd do what I said I'd do. You just didn't like the outcome. And can I say, Joshua, a man just like me, flesh and bone just like me, he's expecting a different outcome. And that's why he went to the Lord. It seemed like such a simple thing. We'll just run the children of Ai out of town. But the Lord said, no, there'll be a blessing and there's going to be a curse. In verse 27, a blessing. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse, if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which ye have not known. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord thy God hath brought thee in unto the land whither thou goest to possess it, that thou shalt put the blessing upon Mount Gerizim and the curse upon Mount Ebal. Are they not on the other side Jordan by the way where the sun goeth down in the land of the Canaanites which dwell in the champaign over against Gilgal beside the plains of Moreh? For ye shall pass over Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you, and ye shall possess it and dwell therein, and ye shall observe to do all the statutes and judgments which I set before you this day. Remember, Joshua, I told you there would be a blessing and there would be a curse. Chapter 28 of the book of Deuteronomy, if you go there, please. Just look at a couple of verses starting in verse 15. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to deserve to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. He said, the Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke, and all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. Joshua, people are perishing. Joshua, people are dying. Joshua, I promised I'd bring you into the land. And I promised a blessing upon all of Israel. But Joshua, people have died. Do you not remember what I told you? Why are you on your face, Joshua? Why are you in the ground, Joshua? Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou upon thy face? Chapter 7 and verse 10. Israel hath sinned. Not one man has sinned, in Israel hath sinned. Not only Israel has sinned, they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Joshua, therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies. Why? Because I cursed them. I said I would curse them. If they took the accursed thing, I told them I would curse them. I told you I would curse you. But I'd bless you if you obeyed my commandments, and you did not obey my commandments. He says they turned their back in verse 12 before their enemies because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore, except you destroy the accursed from among you. Up. Sanctify the people. Get ready, Joshua. Sanctify the people. He brought the children of Israel out by tribe. He brought them out by names. He brought them out by families. He brought them out by household. What does that mean? Each family was in its place by tribe, by household, by man. God said, it's aching. It's aching. Burning with fire. I'm not going to bury you. Lest, like Jezebel, they say, here is Achan, and make a memorial to him. I'm not going to bury him. Burning with fire. And all of Israel went outside the camp and stoned him with stones and then burned him with fire. Achan to sin doesn't realize what covetousness brought to him. But verse 24, Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver and the garment and the wedge of gold and his sons and his daughters, his oxen, his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had. They brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones, burned him with fire. There's Achan's children. Cursed. Cursed. Why? Because daddy took of the accursed thing and he hid it. Did not the Lord promise him the curse won't just fall on you, but your children, your children's children? Now Achan's stoned, he's dead, he's burned with fire. They've put that monument, if you will, over him. A pile of stones upon him. In verse 3 of chapter 8, so Joshua rose and all the people of war to go up against Ai, and Joshua chose out 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them away by night. Joshua said, we're not taking a chance this time. We're going to get Ai. We're going to take him. But I want you to look with me. We're going to skip down through the chapter. The king of Ai is hung. His carcass is taken down, and a heap of stones is piled on him. But in verse 34 of chapter 8, I want you to read this. And afterward, he read all the words of the law, the blessings and cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel. with the women and the little ones and the strangers that were conversant among them. Just in case. Here's the law. Here's the blessings. Here's the curses. If you didn't listen, it's your fault. If you didn't heed, it's your fault.
That's right.
Achan, why don't you remember that man that simply picked up sticks on the Sabbath day? Why don't you remember him? He sinned presumptuously. He knew what he was doing. It wasn't ignorance. He defiled the law of God and went out on the Sabbath day and picked up sticks. And he died for picking up sticks. No, he died for disobeying God.
That's right.
Achan didn't die over a piece of gold.
That's right.
Achan didn't die over a piece of silver. Achan didn't die over a goodly Babylonian garment. No, he died because he disobeyed God.
Yes,
that's right.
Can I go to the New Testament? Not scripturally quite yet, but mentally. Let's fast forward 2019. Achan's a church member at a Baptist church. His fault is found out. It's discovered he has this hidden in his tent. He's found out that he has sinned against God. So what does Achan do? Well, most churches, you get up and sing a special the next Sunday. He'd probably get up and sing something like, "He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be." He had the curse of God hanging around his neck. The curse of God upon him. Cursed of God. Most likely, he'd stand and give testimony about how he doesn't read his Bible enough or doesn't pray enough or, you know, "You all just pray for me. I just don't read my Bible like I ought to." But yet, deep in his heart is a buried curse.
Yes, sir. Exactly right.
Because he's hidden that.
Come on, sir.
He's buried that.
Yes, sir. Exactly right.
He might get up and confess a few faults. Now, see, I was raised in a holiness church, Brother Hain. There, they all got saved again. Man got drunk and beat his wife. He just had to go get saved again on Sunday. That's the old holiness church. Woman stepped out on her husband, she'd just go get saved again. And he couldn't leave her because she got saved and confessed before the church. And that's why fornication and adulteries and sodomies abounded in that old holiness camp.
Yeah.
So my dad was first abused. Why? Because they would hide everything under the mask of religion and under the mask of, if you will, modern-day Christianity. But you know something I read over in chapter 8 earlier today, looking at that? When the children of Israel destroyed Ai, you know what the Lord told them? "The oxen, lamb, they're for me. But you know what he said? You take the spoil thereof. You can have whatever's there, children of Israel. It's all for you." All Achan had to do was wait a day.
It's good.
God would have given it to him.
Yep, sure. It's good.
All he had to do is wait a day. All the wealth of Ai was at his fingertips. God gave the children of Israel everything in the land.
Wow.
You realize the children of Israel come out of the wilderness, their feet have not swollen, their shoes are still like brand new, their clothes look brand new. But all of a sudden, after Ai, this people strutting like peacocks. They're wearing gold rings and gold earrings and silver necklaces and fine garments. Why? It's the spoil of Ai. God gave it to them. But his covetousness, his lust, grew in his heart to the point that he said, "I don't care if it's cursed. I don't care if God has cursed it. I'm not going to take it for myself. I'm going to bury it." And then Achan watches the children of Israel go out. And by the way, God doesn't slay him in battle. I tell you what God did do. You can bear with me on this. God let 36 families take stones in their hands. mm-hmm. and walk up to the front, because vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. Mm-hmm. 36 families got to pick up stones in their hands. You can rest assured. There were some little boys, little teenage boys without a daddy that ran up to the front of that line to get up there first. And God let all of Israel rise up and stone him with stones. And then they burned him with fire. And Achan was no more. There's no burying place. Why? Because there's no hope of a resurrection. Why did God destroy Jezebel and just leave the palms of her hands and feet? Why? Because they wouldn't go and find a burial place and say, this is Jezebel, and raise up a monument to Jezebel. God destroyed her. There's no burying place because there's no hope. There's no hope of a resurrection. She'll be resurrected. Achan will be resurrected. But there's no hope. You see, when God has cursed it, it's cursed.
Yes, sir.
New Testament. If you turn to just a couple of places with me, Romans chapter 9. The Apostle Paul says, with this burden, the man that was covetous, the man that God uses lust to reveal his covetousness. He says in verse 1, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ, for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. The same man who was so filled with lust and covetousness now is saying, I wish that I could be accursed for my brethren. I would take their hell if they'd get saved. I would take their damnation if they would get saved. But you see, Paul couldn't do that because someone had already done it for him. Paul couldn't be cursed for them. Someone else was made a curse for them. Paul couldn't die for them. Someone had already died for them. But they wouldn't believe it. Secondly, and under this matter of being accursed, I'm going to go to Galatians chapter 1. God gives a little bit of insight in the New Testament, what he thinks of false teachers. In verse 8, he simply says this, for though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Let him die. Let him be damned. Why? God's already cursed him. The purveyors of the false gospel are already under a curse. Why? They're not only damning themselves, they're damning their families, they're damning their homes, they're damning America with a false gospel.
Yes, sir.
Let them be accursed.
Yep.
In verse 9, he said this, as we have said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have received, let him be accursed. There's two gospels.
Yes, sir.
There's two spirits. And by the way, there's two, and I'm going to say very, very closely, there's two truths. There's the truth, and there's a false truth.
Yes, sir.
Everything's mimicked. Brother Ron Williams, what I heard many, many years ago, he said, everywhere that God's building a church across the street, you can rest assured the devil's building a chapel.
Of course. Yes, sir.
Everywhere God raised up a man of God across the street, Satan's raising up a little limp-wristed sissy, calls himself a preacher.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And they're accursed.
Yes, sir.
They're accursed. Why? The preaching of the gospel. They're never coming back. They're never going to repent. They're never going to change because they've been cursed of God. Can I say to us tonight in this matter of Achan, again, as we go back to Joshua chapter 7, I just ask you to glean what God would have for you from Achan. Let God minister to your heart from the life of Achan, the story of Achan, the things of Achan. But I want you to look at verse 21. When I saw among the spoils... Can I just stop there and add a little Tim McVeigh thought to that? I forgot about God. When I looked, who's God? Figure some modern theology. I didn't say compromise, modern theology. When I saw that girl, who's God?
That's right.
Come on.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
When I saw that boy,
yes, sir.
Who's God?
Yep.
When I saw the wealth, when I saw a career with money, who's God?
Yes, sir.
When I saw everybody else walking on that same road, the lights, the glitz, the glamour, the world, who's God? When I saw.
Yeah.
He forgot the curse.
Yes, sir, that's good.
All he did was look, and he forgot the curse. You realize that any child that strikes their parents in the Old Testament was cursed. Any child who cursed their parents with a cursing, they were cursed of God. You know why? Because God gave the law to young and old alike. God gave the law to children as well as he gave it to adults.
Sure
it
is.
That's right, sir.
He said, you bring your young ones in here. You bring these children in here. Joshua said, bring them all. If they can understand my words, if they can speak this language, thought that was interesting too. If they can speak the language I'm speaking, English, you heed my words. And he read all the law of Moses to them. They could hear it with their ears. There could not be one child in Israel, one adult in Israel. There could not be a person in Israel who would walk away from that camp that day and say, I don't know what God said.
That's good. Yes, sir.
And yet, the children of Israel defiled God, cursed God, mocked God, and finally they slew God. Who's God to you? Is he second place behind your lust? Is he just somebody you play around with at church? Do you consider him when you look? Do you consider him when you're tempted? Do you consider him when you're lusting? Who's God? Can I say it's I don't know if the term easier would be the correct term. It's easier as a man when you have a wife at home. It's pretty easy sometimes when some Jezebel's flirting and playing little games and being vile. You look at your wife and sometimes it makes it a lot easier. You go, yeah, I think I'll just go home to this one. See ya. But how easy is it for you to say, you know what, I think I'll go home with this one.
Yeah, come on. That's good, brother.
I think I'll go home with this.
That's helpless.
I think I'll go ahead and take the old book. The accursed thing. Brother John, would you pray for us? The accursed thing.
Now, Father, I want to thank you. Certainly, we have heard one of the holiest messages I've heard. I have no doubt that you spoke to each person personally, individually, searched. And I would ask, my God, that you would not let anyone lightly shake off what they've heard. I want to thank you tonight for the Anchor Baptist Church having been here. I thank you how gracious you were. Those people discovered the grace of God in Tim McVeigh early. Saw that, saw the power in the gospel, and shook off those things of old, and clung to those things that were very much of old in the King James Bible. those who've traveled here from Pennsylvania, especially the Bays being here. Lord, I thank you for having brought Pastor Hain to be with us.
Amen.
And the good yes. that you have wrought from that man being here. I thank you for that.
Yes.
But my God, more than anything else, I thank you for each and every person that you have brought to sit under the sound of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that they might hear these things. They might meditate upon these things. And the Holy Ghost can hold court with each one. Take those things out of the way that they've used to bury your sin.
Yes.
And I pray that you expose things in their lives. But oh my God, not for